gets his second wicket, and it's an important one because it's Sam Hain, and Zach Chappell has been very good indeed.
Oh, lovely dismissal from Lyndon James, and he's bowled Adam Wheater for naught.
This is the talk of Trent Bridge. I'm Matt Freeman, and I'm joined this week by paceman Zach Chappell and homegrown all-rounder Lyndon James to relive some of the standout moments from 2021. Coming up, Lyndon shares the pressure he felt fielding in the slips for an England legend.
Brodie was steaming. I was like, if I drop one off Brodie, I was like, I need to get myself out of here. I need to practice a bit more before I get back in.
Zach reminisces about a hard-fought 4 days in Worcester.
When you come off the pitch, like, you feel like you've earned something almost. Yeah. And then to watch Hassan Slats the way they did come out in that last innings, I thought that was commendable.
And there's a small disagreement about Zach's ability on the golf course.
I've been giving it big licks all week about my drive. Yeah. And I don't even have a driver.
Right, so. I've been told to put this on the podcast. He claimed it a 408-yard drive.
But we start by discussing rather mundane morning routines.
Thank you for coming in. I know we've dragged you, Zach, away from a very sort of interesting rock star morning. So thank you for...
No problem.
For coming away from your household chores to come in, was it a wrench to get away from all that?
Oh, it was tough. I'll be honest, Lyndon rang me and I was mid cleaning the bathroom and he was like 10 o'clock and I was like, I thought I was late for golf. And then I remembered we had the podcast and here we are. We made it anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you both here. And we'll talk about the season that's to come, but we will also take a look back, I think, first at some of the stuff that happened last year, some of the big moments here at Trent Bridge and away as well in the county championship. We've got a couple of clips from the season gone by. So first off, I want to see if you can work out what was happening in them.
194 for nine, and next ball is the final act delivered by as Jamie Porter nicks behind and Nottinghamshire have won this one.
Oh, yeah.
It was Essex here, wasn't
it? Yeah, Fletchy nicked off Porter, yeah.
Porter's the big clue there, isn't it? Yeah, that felt like a real statement win, that. What was that like to be in on that final day?
Yeah, it was mad, really, because I think it rained the whole of day three, didn't it? It was actually good for us, because I think... So we bowled first, bowled them out pretty quickly, and then, you know, I think they had around about 140 for three or something on the end of the second day, and we'd bowled a fair bit, and I remember a few lads were tired, and we saw the forecast, and obviously it was going to hammer it down, which was perfect, because it meant we had a day sitting on our ass, and you'd be fine and ready for day four. So, but yeah, I agree, it obviously was a massive statement, having beaten Derbyshire the week before, getting that first win, and then to beat the champions. I think that set us up for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it was a day wash out, but that brings its own kind of time pressure then, doesn't it? Because suddenly... the game's racing on a little.
Yeah, I guess so. We just knew that because I think Nick Brown was playing quite well and we thought if we get him, then there's a bit of an opening there. And Fletch got him pretty early and it just went from there.
Yeah, decent game for you as well. Was it 4 in the second innings?
Yeah. It was disappointing not to get 5 for, but yeah, okay, felt like I bowled nicely. I blame Haas for that.
We were talking about his first game because we
know that was... he literally, so we were talking about it the other day, we were doing slip catches and I was like, should you really be in it? But anyway, I'm not too bitter. We won the game, so I'm not too bitter about it.
How long as a bowler do you hang on to drop slip catchers?
Oh, I don't know, really.
You're quite good, actually.
I'm all right, yeah.
About it.
I understand that everyone drops. No one tries to drop them, do they? I find it a little bit funny, because it's embarrassing if you drop one. The last thing you need is a bowler to go, for F's sake. But when it gets to like 2 or 3, especially in the same game, you're like, wow, is this actually happening?
I think obviously being a bowler as well and then trying to stand in the slips, like I know the feeling when it's dropped, but I also know how hard it is to catch in the slips, so I've put a fair few down in my time, so I know the feeling.
Yeah, do you get the wrath of the bowlers on those occasions?
A little bit. I'm trying to think, to be fair, I think I dropped one pretty early in the season against Warwickshire, I think, off Dane, and it was for Dane's first wicket as well for the club. Dropped that, so brilliant. Welcome to Notts. And I think after that, I remember that same game, Brodie was steaming. I was like, if I drop one off Brodie, I was like, I need to get myself out of here. I need to practice a bit more before I get back in. So
I was going to mention Brodie as well, because he played in that Essex game and it was noticeably mid-on, mid-off when anyone was bowling, really, sort of offering nuggets of advice here and there. How important can that be, especially in that kind of game, I suppose, when you've got to close it out and you've just got to get over the line?
It is really good. Like, the wealth of experience there is obviously for everyone to see. And just to say, I don't think it's like, you know, loads of info being fired at you. It just gives you little hints here and there, little tips. For us. Like in between overs, we'll be like, oh, maybe think about this next over. And then it's just really insightful, which, you know, as a young bowler is brilliant.
We've got another clip, I think, from another game a little bit earlier in the season, which is probably too much of a clue.
I was going to say, cheating.
Here comes Joe Leach on 99. And we'll play it away square of the wicket on the offside. And there is the century for...
Hass or Slats? Hass.
Yeah, it was Worcester, wasn't it? That second dick.
No, right.
That's flat, that. Wow. I have visions of Joe Leach. And he put us back in again. And he'd fielded like 200 overs or something. And he was at mid-off. And he was like this. In between balls, just looking up. He was, honestly, I've never
That's
seen
it. Fletcher ran you out, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, Fletcher ran me out, yeah. Trying to get off strike to Joseph.
I'm pretty certain as well. It's because he didn't want to bowl again on that. Oh. But there you go.
Yeah, it feels like not the game to talk about. We were in to bring a couple of bowlers in to talk about that, which must have been a horrible game to bowl in.
That wasn't nice, no. Well, I think it was about 20 minutes for it reversed, but other than that, I remember coming back for like 35th over or something. Oh, it was just dust. My run-up had shortened by about 3 metres. Like, over the day, it just got shorter and shorter. But I quite like them. I think they're quite nice. When you come off the pitch, like, you feel like you've earned something almost. Yeah. And then to watch Hass and Slats the way they did come out in that last innings, I thought that was commendable. Like, it took a lot of grit, especially because they'd been in the field for a while. That was credit to them, really.
I mean, after that first session, they were about 115 for none or something, our first session, I was like, oh, dear, it's going to be a long day. But then we pulled it back quite well, actually, in the end. But, yeah, that was flat. I mean, I don't think I bowled the whole first day. Didn't get called upon.
It was long.
I remember it was probably not a bad thing on there.
Yeah, we could see the live stream pictures, and already when they were sort of focused on the wicket, you could see the keeper and nobody else in shot.
I think we took out the slips within 7 or 8 overs, yeah. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, we had no slips from like 25 overs or something. Probably less actually, right? But Fletcher, yeah, we did well though. We kept it tight. It's hard to get wickets on it.
Yeah.
But in terms of Hass's performance as well, I know we sort of had a bit of behind the scenes stuff from that game, and you were talking about how you can have too much of a good thing but maybe not when it's watching Hass bat. What was it like in the dressing room? Was they sort of saw you home in the end pretty calmly?
Yeah, do you know what, I didn't even sit in the dressing room once that game. Me and Fletch and Dane planted ourselves around the other side of the ground where there was a sun trap. It was something like Builders Destruction Limited sign, and we were wedged there for like the whole of our thing, and it was unbelievable. We're obviously watching the boys, but it was an unreal. Like, it was unreal to watch. Yeah.
I remember when they both got 100. I remember Ducky was batting at 3, and I got to the point where I think there was only about, well, maybe even 10 overs left. Ducky took his pads off. Like, so as the next man in, he was that confident that Sliddy and Hass were going to get us through, and he took his pads off. So, but yeah, hell of an effort. I've scored 2 back-to-back hundreds in the same games. An incredible effort.
And to be on the field basically for all of
well
the game.
Yeah, it was very hot. So, yeah, credit to Hass. Yeah. Obviously, that probably got him back towards the England side, didn't it? Because he had back-to-back hundreds and then went from there.
Yeah, and we talk about the Derbyshire game and obviously the Essex game with beating the champs, but was that a bit of a momentum shifter as well in terms of the way that result ended up?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it sounds weird, but the bus trip back when we came back from Worcester, like, there was, I don't know, something, I don't know, what do you reckon? I think something, like, shifted there. We got real tight on that bus trip. It was weird, like, having, you know, saved the game for a draw, and there was just something there that, like, as a group, we got a lot tighter, I think. I think Clarkie was on the tunes, and, I don't know, Dane was being Dane, and, you know, we had a good laugh on the bus back, and then, you know, freshened up, ready to go again, obviously won that next game.
Yeah, Clarkie's often on the tunes, isn't he, it seems?
DJ Deliver, he calls himself, whatever it is. He's just Joe, isn't it?
I mean, it's usually, well, it's him, Pipe, well, actually, I guess Pricey as well. But it's mainly Clarke, I guess, that's changing room. Yeah.
No, he's good, to be fair.
Do you approve of what they're picking?
I think so, yeah. He pleases the general crowd, I think, which is what you got to do as a DJ.
It is.
I mean, I can't say I've got much experience as a DJ, but it seems to be what he
either.
Probably the first role. But that was probably one of the first away trips for quite a while, actually. I'm trying to think, because obviously 2020 was weird in terms of, well, the only game away was Leicester and life was very different. So does that give you a chance to bond a bit tighter having those weeks on the road?
I think the unique thing about cricket is you spend so much time together. You almost spend more time with the lads than you do with your girlfriends, your wives, your families. So the boys know you better than anyone. I think, like, definitely you get closer on those trips, and you learn to have each other's backs, and it goes a long way on the field, I think.
It was bizarre. Even at, like, the start of last year, when there was still kind of COVID restrictions in place, like we weren't going out to restaurants and stuff, which we would usually do in the evenings. It was a bit of a delivery job and have it in your rooms. But I think towards the back end of the year, when we were away, like, we could get out and about a bit more, which, you know, when you get a good group, you're going for some food. It's nice to get away from that cricket environment and just talk about something else as well when you're doing that.
And that's probably a big thing with pre-season as well, because this time last year, I think we were still in kind of a one-to-one pre-season kind of environment, one in, one out, working and staying away from people. So how big a difference is it making this year to be back as a group?
Well, it's just the camaraderie. Like, now that we've got that lunchroom back over the other side, like, you know, when we've all finished training, been to the Dome or something, done a running session, we're all, you know, shattered. So then I would laugh and joke in there for half an hour, like, you know, it takes your mind off it and stuff like that. And obviously, yeah, we won't be able to do that last year. Especially with, you know, a couple of fresh faces joining us this winter, it helps them, you know, integrate into the group.
Yeah. It seems to bring back a little bit of competition as well, the sort of middle practice at Loughborough and the like.
Yeah, yeah. I'm overly competitive in all these things, so the lads obviously hate it. Yeah. I can't help it. Like, I try not. I know that people hate it, and I still can't help it. Like, even when we're like warming up, like, I try and, like, I just can't help it. I just want to run.
Trying out and jump people.
Yeah. Just, even golf, like, I've been giving it big licks all week about my drive.
Yeah.
And I don't even have a driver.
Like, so. I've been told to put this on the podcast. He claimed it a 408-yard drive. Right. 408 yards.
That sounds a bit Bryson DeChambeau.
400. That's why I'm desperate to play. Because, to be fair, innocent till proven guilty. But, yeah, I'm intrigued to see.
It's put pressure on me, to be honest. I've never played with the lads, right? I don't play golf, I probably play twice a year, but like, I've got a decent amount of power. And like, it was a 7-mile-an-hour tailwind, and I've given it everything. Like, first one's gone into the trees, I borrowed my mate's driver. Second one just got lucky, it's gone straight with the tailwind. And I've got texts from my friends to prove it, but.
Well, if there's no footage, it feels
yeah,
like
it's tough, isn't it? It's, yeah. I completely understand, because it's a long way.
Like, it's a long, long way. So it's a really long
I'm
way.
Not promising anything today, but like, we'll see what we get to.
Yeah. Who's the outstanding golfer, do you reckon?
It's probably Bray. He's off scratch, I think. Obviously, you would have been intrigued. He's obviously doing what he's doing now. But yeah, Brett. I'm trying to think who else.
All you boys are like below 10, aren't you?
Oh, I wish I was blessed. I'm not quite there yet. Sol's pretty good golf. Obviously, the general, Franksy's been golfing for years. But yeah, like, everyone's like, in the summer, you're pretty much fine. 10, 11, 12 lads are always up for a round of golf, which is perfect.
And the rest of this week has been about speed, it seems, as well. There's been a lot of speed training. I know that you did some stuff a couple of days ago, and there's Loughborough tomorrow with a little bit more. How important is that? Because it's kind of sometimes feels like it's an endurance game being out there for 4 days, but how important are things like those sprint speed elements of what you do?
Yeah, I think obviously since Rooster's joined, there's been a big like element on like frames. Like when obviously, I don't know, if you're in a T20 and you've got the cameras on and stuff, when there's a run out, there's a, like the difference between frames like is massive to getting a run out. And basically it's trying to how we can shave off more frames and basically, you know, quicker release, quicker to the ball, and actually can make a big difference in getting run outs and taking wickets. So I guess it's probably the biggest pre-season I've had where the focus has been on speed. Like, we've obviously done lots of sprint training before, but these lads that are coming in from Speedworks have been, well, I find them really useful. Mm.
The two lads that have come in have been unreal. They've been good coaches, they give feedback well. And I think like it's an area where we haven't done a huge amount of work, so the rate of improvement's quite large quickly. Like, people like Fletchy, like, he's someone that it might be quite hard to get on board with, but he's absolutely loved it and he's improved so much that he's run it. And it's nice to see, because if he's added 2 yards onto a run out or even getting back for a two or something, then it can be the difference, can't it? We see that all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Is it something you find easy to buy in? Because it's obviously not kind of your core skill as a bowler or a batter, but it's still part of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
It translates into our game, doesn't it?
Yeah. So. As long as you people tell you why and you can see how it would make a difference, then you'll often get a lot of lads buy-in. So.
Yeah, yeah. And have you found this phase overall? Because next week is the sort of break week, isn't it? So this is the end of that second block of pre-season. How have you found that going? Yourself?
Yeah, it's been really good. Like, it's gone quickly. Like, I can't believe, you know, gone from Christmas to this half term week off we have this quick. But I think once you get past Christmas, for me, like, you start looking towards the tents, so the pre-season games out there, it all feels a lot more real. And yeah, I think you are just obviously, you know, you do love training to bits and stuff inside, but I think by this point you're ready to get outside. And you know, that competitiveness you talk about, you know, get those more match scenarios when we're in the tent, and something I look forward to now.
Yeah, yeah. How's it for you?
Yeah, 100%. Like, see, often you're exploring your game early doors, like when you first come back in the winter, and then you're refining stuff as you get into this point. And now with batters v bowlers and stuff, it's, you just want to, yeah, you just want to be off full run. You want to be outside, feel the spikes in the ground, really.
Yeah. Feels like the tent has replaced the pre-season tour on a longer-term basis?
I really hope not, because the tent's great. And you get a longer period to build your overs up, which Shani likes and the coaches like. But nothing...
It's so hard.
Being in Barbados, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? it's a perk of a job. Obviously, it's a great job anyway, but like, if you had a choice, you'd rather be in Barbados than at Lady Bay
in February.
Everyone would agree with that.
Really? But. You sure? That's so hard, though, isn't it? Because we see that how good the tent is actually. Like, we're all ready when it comes to the first game of the season. It's hard to look away from that. But also, obviously, you want a couple of days out and wherever, and you know, a bit of vitamin D and all that. But I think we are going away, but I don't think we're going to a hot location.
Is it?
I think we've got a little team trip somewhere up north.
That'd be Lake District or something.
Yeah. So one of those sort of team
building some rafts things. And stuff.
You did rafts a couple of years ago, didn't you? Yeah.
Was that Rookwood?
Our team won that, so yeah, we won.
What's the trick to a successful raft?
Do you know what? This is exactly what I mean. So I YouTubed it the night before to get the best raft, and we were. Like, I just told the lads in the morning we won by distance.
It feels like cheating.
You shouldn't have told
him. He wants to win. That's it. I mean, it's a great trait to have.
It's annoying, though.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying, as they say.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Did you YouTube how to hit a 400-yard drive before?
Well, yeah. Team Oars was playing it big as well about his drive, so he was getting some YouTube clips up.
Well, it all helps. But it's been a bit of a journey this winter, I suppose, as well, with coming back into bowling after the stress fracture sort of affected that back end of the summer. How's that feeling at the minute?
Yeah, it's just nice to be back amongst it now. Like, obviously the first 2 weeks I wasn't bowling, it was a bit odd. And then started bowling, obviously, on the side net when other lads were ramping up with the competitive stuff. So it's nice to be back in amongst it, especially at Loughborough, and feel like I'll be ready to play that first game as a bowler, as needed as a bowler. So, because at the start of pre-season, it wasn't really a worry, but... in the back of your mind, you think, I haven't bowled for, 4 or 5 months. So it's like, am I going to be ready for that first game? But, I've got a lot of confidence in Shiny and hopefully be ready to go.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Big season ahead. Well, now you've got your tea time pending, so we'll let you go. Thank you for popping in.
Thanks for having us.
Enjoyed it.
Hope the round goes well. Hope the rest of pre-season goes well.
Thank you very much.